Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 177, and I'm recording it on the afternoon of February 11th, 2009. Well, today I wanted to do a quick review of a conference that I attended last week and talk a little bit about how you can attend the same conference because it is archived. And the neat thing about this conference is I could attend it here at school. It cost me nothing. I didn't have to fill out any professional development forms or regulations. And if I want to encourage somebody else to attend the same conference, I can send them a link and they can attend. So I am talking about the Smithsonian's online Lincoln Conference that took place last week on February 4th and 5th of 2009. And I did talk about it on some previous podcasts, so hopefully some of you were able to attend as well. It did seem like some of the names were familiar as we went through the discussion boards and the chat rooms and things. So I hope that some of the people that listened to the podcast were also attending. And just wanted to talk about it a little bit today, talk about how you can access it if you want to go back and review, and just talk a little bit about the impact of what an online conference means. So last February 4th and 5th, last week, we did have block scheduling here at South Valley Junior High, so I did have some planning periods where I was able to virtually attend some of the sessions live, and I think that in total I was in attendance for parts of 5 sessions. Now, that means that I may have popped in for the first 10 minutes, or I know on 2 occasions I basically was active for the entire 50-minute session, but I did kind of pop in and out of about 5 sessions. It's kind of neat because you can set it up. I had it on my computer in my room, had my speakers on, and if I needed to run to the other side of the room to do something, I could do that, and I was doing a couple other things as well. But the neat thing about the online conference was it was really easy to get into. It was produced by Learning Tree, and they did an excellent job of handling all the technology. I did not experience any glitches during any of the sessions that I attended, and they do have a button on the site where you can also check out the technology requirements ahead of time to make sure that everything is working. So when I wanted to log in, I just simply logged in, put in my name, put in my, I think they asked for your address, and you were right into the session. And as the presenter was presenting things, putting pictures up, there were sometimes polls that were happening. They would ask a question of the audience, and the audience could either vote, like a multiple choice type selection, or it was just kind of an open-ended question, and they would then have a box appear in the middle of the screen, and you could answer your question in like a couple sentences or a couple words. But then they also had a running chat room on the side, kind of like a back channel for the conference. So as the presenter was presenting, you could see other people asking questions. You could see some people saying, oh yes, you know, there's a resource related to that, and it's found under this, or this is a book that relates to what the presenter is talking about today. So very much like a back channel in some of the EdTech conferences, there was that back channel kind of feel going on to the sessions. But some really, really good sessions. The ones that I really liked, and I've liked all the ones that I've either watched on archive or participated in, but the ones that I really liked, the hot air balloon, Mr. Lincoln's Air Force. They talked about how hot air balloons were used in the Civil War, and during that one, I did have an advisory class. It's kind of like a study hall class in my room, and the students were really intrigued by that whole concept of how they used hot air balloons. And I had read something once where they said that they used hot air balloons during the war, but I didn't realize to what extent and how Lincoln was involved. And they had some amazing pictures, some amazing examples. They've actually, they did some things right there on the mall in Washington, D.C., where they did some different experiments and stuff. They had pictures of that. Just really, really well done. Another session I really liked was Lincoln, An Extraordinary Life. And they have several pieces of the exhibit that's currently at the Smithsonian about Lincoln's life. Things like the wedge that he used to split rails when he was in Illinois, and the story behind how they actually know that this was the wedge that he used was fascinating. Different things about artifacts during the election, different things from when he was president, just a really neat collection of things that helped tell the story about Lincoln's life. And then also the Mask of Lincoln, which goes along with the lesson plans the Smithsonian produced for Smithsonian in Your Classroom, the life masks and the hands of Lincoln, and then also the photographs of Lincoln. Some amazing insight into those particular artifacts. And again, all these different sessions had places where you could go and then download these images. So for example, I just got done talking about Lincoln and Extraordinary Life. If you want a picture of that wedge, you can go to the resource page and you can print off that picture as a full page color image, and then you can have something to add to your discussion when you teach about Lincoln. Or you could have students with that in hand, and as they're watching the archived session of the workshop, they could then pass around those different pictures. People were able to ask questions in the chat, which was really neat because, you know, you never know exactly where the flow of a conference session is going to go. And that's no different in person or on the web. You could be talking about something and then someone has a specific question about that item or that topic, and it could definitely then, you know, answer that question. So that was really neat. It wasn't just a one-way street. And I thought the people that were the presenters did an excellent job of engaging the participants. Sometimes you attend a webinar and you just sit there and you listen to somebody talk. On this one, you had many opportunities to answer a question, answer a poll, vote on what we wanted to talk about next in one particular case. It was very, very interactive. All around, just a great experience. If you want to watch these presentations now, you can go to the archive, and I'll have the links up on the blog. You can go to the archive, and under each presentation, you have the option of watching the video, which is the full 50 minutes of the online conference. You see everything that a person that attending live would see. The only difference is you're not able to type in a live question or participate in the chat. But you can see the chat. You can see any of the objects that they bring up. You're seeing the exact same screen that somebody would have seen live, just without the live participation. There's also a discussion board, so if you have any follow-up questions, you can ask on the discussion board. And then also there's a resource button. So again, like I mentioned, if you want some images that they used in that presentation, you can click on the resources. And they've got various things where it's an actual picture that they had, or it has additional things. If you want to extend the lesson, there's also some different links there. They did mention at the end of the last session, the one on kind of using different resources to teach Lincoln, the Smithsonian representative, and I'm sorry, I cannot remember the name of who was presenting this stat at the end, but they said that in the 2 days during the last session, they had 556 cities represented, not people, but 556 cities from across the United States participating, and then participants from 12 different countries just during the live part of the conference. And I'd be really curious to see how those numbers are coming in as the conference is over and they're archived, because that's the amazing thing I think about this experience is if I wasn't able to go that day, I can log in again. And I've gone back and I've actually listened to some of the sessions that I wasn't able to attend. Whereas if you have a traditional conference, all that information and all that discussion is just like basically vaporized once that presentation's over, if it's not captured in some way. And this was an amazing way to capture that. I just really think that this is possibly a definite game changer when you're looking at how technology has now made it easy to attend these things virtually. I've been very lucky to be at 3 of the last 4 NCSS conferences, and if I would have sat in on basically any of the Lincoln sessions that I did last week, if I would have sat in on those at one of the national conferences, I would have been very happy with my day and come across with something that I really felt like I could use in my classroom, which I think in most cases is the goal of attending a conference. So I just really applaud the Smithsonian for doing this. They did mention at the end that they're going to have 2 more online conferences this year. They did not talk about what the topics would be, but I'm very curious to see what they do with the next one. The Smithsonian is really taking an active role in using Web 2.0 tools to help get their information out to teachers and the general public, and I just really applaud them for doing that, because There's so much the Smithsonian has to offer, and this is literally putting it in the hands of teachers when they need it. And, you know, before I teach my Civil War unit, I'll probably go back and listen to part of the presentation on how they use the hot air balloons in the Civil War, and I'll include that as a as part of my notes. I could also include it as part of a separate activity. I'm still kind of playing with how I'd possibly do that, but the possibilities are endless on how you could use this resource in your classroom. So if you are somebody that attended the virtual conference online, I'd be really curious to see what you thought, and you can leave a comment on the blog post. And again, the blog is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, and I would love to hear if you attended or if you've gone back and looked at the archives, what you thought of the sessions. But just really impressed, and I hope that the Smithsonian continues with some of these similar online conferences in regards to history. So until we talk again soon, thanks. And remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. See you later. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.